College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything going on in the world of college basketball. We try to keep it mostly on the court, but once in a while we do talk off the court stuff as well. We are back to talk some college basketball, and I'll tell you what, last night we had a variety of good games, not just the Gophers destroying Wisconsin, although I'll say that loud and proud, but we had a buzzer beater. We had a variety of good games. Really all this week had some really good games that we'll recap over the last couple of days, including Saturday a little bit as well. But when you look at the upcoming schedule, this Saturday, Sunday, Monday, just right in that realm, you know, and even if you trickle into Tuesday, Wednesday next week, right, like, when you look at the schedule, this might be, on paper, of course, this might be the best schedule or, like, the best week of college basketball. It really might. You never know. You never know. You match them up. You throw up the ball, see what happens. But definitely, definitely interesting. But anyway, it's a variety of talk about. We will, like I said, recap some games, you know, last night. Butler and Villanova went all the way down to the wire. Really good game. A surprise last night with Purdue. 104-68. Like, where in the hell did that come from? A Creighton team who had just got a big win-loss. So there's a variety of stuff, like I said, that we'll get into and then preview some big games. Just, I mean, Villanova and Seton Hall, you know, they're on top still of the conference race. They're in the Big East. That's going to be a big game this week. In LSU, Auburn is a big game. It's a variety of big games. Even Duke, North Carolina, rivalry-wise, you still got to say it's a pretty big game. So we're definitely going to Wichita State and Houston. I mean, there's a variety of ones. So we're gonna recap. We're gonna preview and predict some of these matchups. We're gonna talk a little betting stuff. We're gonna talk a little conference races. See where we're at. We'll probably not get in too heavy to any kind of bubble talk now that it is, you know, officially February, but we'll probably stay off the bubble talk for a little bit. But that, the bubble talk when we get there is going to be interesting, man. It is like one of the best bubble years, if you know what I mean, as far as a college basketball thing. Florida State Duke is another game that's coming up on Monday. I mean, there is just, Michigan State travels on the road at Illinois next Tuesday. Like, there is so many great games coming up. Creighton, Seton Hall. Oh, I forgot about this literally a week from now. We'll talk about this game. Let's actually not go that far. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Anyway, real quick, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you can find it right here. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. It streams live at archives. However, you don't have to just listen to it on Blog Talk. If you want to listen to the College Ball Show, underneath the Ropeadope Radio Podcast umbrella, you can find it on Apple Podcasts. If you rate and review the show there, that'd be great. Player FM, TuneIn, Spricker, Stitcher, really all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found across the board as well, including Spotify. Can't forget about iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through TuneIn or Spotify to find both platforms. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're just not quite satisfied, you need some sort of package. Pause. You should try AT&T TV now. I actually do it myself. It's a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract, so you're not tied down. Like I said, there's a free trial 7 days, but it's only $60 a month to get going. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR as well. It's called AT&T TV now. Not to be confused with AT&T TV, which I think I said on a couple of shows. That's the normal cable network stuff. And that's a growing network. You can definitely do that if you don't want to do streaming cable. But you can find that in California, parts of New York, parts of Texas, up the Northwest and Seattle, Midwest right here in Minneapolis and St. Louis, kind of all over the place. Just go to the website, put your area code in, and see if they got what it is that you need. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and just kind of check the temperature, see how he's doing. What's going on, Marshall? How are you, buddy?
Life's pretty good. I definitely had a coaching moment high. So I've, the varsity girls, like, who I've been working with the past 2 years at the school I'm at, finally had like a big win. Like the head coach has been there for 4 years now and is my second year, but every year they've progressed and the varsity girls have never quite had that, win you're not supposed to get. And they finally got one, last Tuesday night.
Nice.
And it was against a crosstown rival. And just seeing the celebration and the happiness was rewarding because we're not going to win state, but it was fun to see the girls win a game. And we have a senior loaded team of 10 girls. And so it was just, one of those moments that makes coaching worth it. Like, I'm happy they won. It was an awesome day. And we got
That's
a couple
cool.
games left. Yeah. And we clinched the playoff spot, which they haven't made the playoffs in the 3 years she's been there. So this is a step in the right direction. Now we're going to play a good team, but still making the playoffs. It was fun and rewarding. It makes the coaching stuff good. And my freshmen are 16-6 on the year. So I've had a pretty rewarding basketball year with a couple of games ago. My freshmen could win 18 games. So I got, some girls that can run down the court pretty quickly. So yeah, it's been fun. And I start softball now too. So, the coaching life is busy. But thankfully last night, as you were talking about earlier, I came home, had some dinner and just turned on basketball and got spoiled. We were talking before the show. If you don't like Gus Johnson, I kind of question you as a sports fan. I told my co-host, I'm like, man, I got Big East basketball. It's kind of been my fun conference to watch this year. I get home, turn on, Villanova at Butler. And actually the game had started, supposed to start at 5:30, which is kind of a weird time. But I didn't miss much because there was like a huge leak in the roof. So they had like a 13-minute rain delay. And then, so I only missed like the first 5 minutes. So the Villanova Butler game, Chris, was a hell of a fun game last night. It was basically back and forth the whole way. Villanova kind of controlled the tempo in the first half. But Butler was kind of gritty and kind of fought back with him in the second half. During the game, the Butler head coach was like, guys, you got to be physical. Got to be physical. He must have said that in a couple of different TV timeouts. And they were physical back, and it turned out to be a fun game. Villanova was down about 6 or 7 with a couple minutes to go, hit a couple of clutch threes. But at the end of the day, Butler hits a just dagger step back. I believe it was a 2 or 3. His foot was really close to the line, but hits a buzzer beater for the win. I was just having some flashback moments of Gus Johnson calling March Madness buzzer beaters. But, Chris, I know you're probably getting fed up with my shit because I'm always talking Big East. But for last night, the Big East again had another fun game where this conference isn't the best thing ever, but you have a conference of 10 teams and no team is really that much of a slouch. And, man, Villanova – They've had a ringer. They played Creighton, the team I cheer for now because the Tar Heels suck, and Creighton beat Villanova. Now you go to Butler and you lose at Butler, and now as you said, you got Seton Hall coming up. Man, Villanova's going through a grind of a schedule, and nice win for Butler on the year.
Yeah, Baldwin hit that 3-pointer, and the biggest thing I saw, Butler was just grinding it out.
They were.
I knew they shot like, you know. They seem like, as the game went on, it seems like they started shooting the ball a little better. And sure. Then all of a sudden, they were playing, they shot 57%, basically 58% on the game. And, that's obviously pretty damn good, right? I mean, that's, if you could do that every game, you'd probably win the national championship.
Yeah.
But I noticed neither team really got much of off their bench at all. In fact, 5 points combined off their bench, which I didn't know is that bad. But the big thing is Butler kind of had the all-around starting lineup where everybody kind of did something. And it was just the opposite for Nova. You had Bay, he got 29 and 28 from Gillespie.
Yep.
And I think that was kind of the difference there. That's kind of what's been going on. But Nova and Seton Hall have this big matchup that we're definitely going to preview and predict coming up. But it's like they both kind of got caught looking ahead at that matchup. And not so much in a sense because now Nova lost back-to-back after winning, I think, 13 of 14 or 12 of 13 or something like that. And obviously, like you said, they're not easy games. At Butler's not something that you just chalk up as an easy W or anything like that. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And then even last night, I mean, still, like, just keeping with that theme, Purdue just destroyed Iowa. I mean, how did that happen? Iowa coming off a nice win not long ago. 104-68, dude, that one really got me. But that kind of goes with the theme of on the road, and especially in the Big Ten. Actually, Providence got a nice win over a ranked team. I think it had been 2 years since that had happened. And Vanderbilt beat a very hot LSU leading the SEC, LSU at the time, 99-90. So that was kind of a surprise, too.
I'll say this, brother. I was just kind of jumping ready to talk. But, man, if you enjoy betting college basketball, Purdue at home, like in a big game, they're just a different beast. They're one of the most fun, like enjoyable watches on TV, and that's just a different team at home. And I actually bet them first half. They were -2 against Iowa first half last night. And when the game started 17-2. I'm like, all right, my bet's in pretty good. So they dropped 64 in the first half. It's hard to lose a first half bet if a team scores 64 points and that's a team bet. So, I mean, that's just, if you're looking to make bets as the year goes on, if Purdue's at home and they're facing like a top opponent, man, I've seen them now just smoke Michigan State and Iowa too. Iowa didn't have a chance that night. When you get down 17-2, clearly someone came ready to play. But yeah, if you're looking for a betting angle, man, that Purdue at home's a safe way to go most of the time. And
you know, and most of the time, Michigan State at home is a pretty safe bet. But two nights ago, they got beat by just a red hot out of nowhere Penn State team. 75-70, Michigan State's kind of going through that little lull moment now after being really hot, and it wasn't that long ago that Penn State, I'm going back to it right now, they lost 3 in a row, but look who they lost to, at Rutgers, at home, but it was to Wisconsin, then at, you know, Minnesota, and that was a competitive game, and now they've railed off 5 in a row, and of course my Gophers have to face them next. Which is always – that's always great. But that was a surprise to me too, that Penn State – I kind of felt like, Marshall, when they were going to kind of – when they were starting to lose, I thought, all right, they're going to come back down to earth. But they're freaking on the up and up in the Big Ten, dude. There are some upstart teams between Rutgers, Penn State, and there's one more in there. I can't remember. Rutgers, Penn State, and somebody – oh, Illinois. That upstart thing that we noticed a couple of weeks ago has just stayed with it. It really has. What were you going to say, though? I'm pretty sure you were going to say something.
Well, I'll go to Penn State, and I'll touch on the Vanderbilt. Penn State, man, I know it was against your Gophers, and it was only one half I saw. But when they lost to the Gophers that night in Minnesota, like the first half I watched Penn State, they shot the ball about as good as any college team could. I mean, I know they kind of got cold a little bit in the second half. I know that happens. But after watching that first half of the game, I knew that this team was legit. I think I bet the Gophers that night, and I was nervous as hell. I remember texting my buddy. I'm like, dude, this Penn State team is shooting like Golden State, like back in the day. They just weren't missing. So I think that Penn State team, Chris, is pretty damn good. And I know it's only one game, but there's a certain kind of flow their offense has, which they just, I don't think the road scares them. That was when they're on, you know, same thing with what they beat Penn State or Michigan State. That doesn't surprise me because that offense, when it was going, it is better than most offenses I've seen all year. And speaking of offenses, to go on the LSU loss, that one was really surprising because Vanderbilt's been pretty bad this year. They lost their, I believe, second leading scorer about a week, 2 weeks ago for the whole season. And they've really just kind of slummed their way through the season now just because they really struggled to score points. My former Tar Heel, Jerry Stackhouse, is the coach there. So, you know, it's his first year there. You're trying to get things back on track. But their offense has been really pretty sluggish. And then to see them score 99 on LSU or 96, it's like, oh, my God. I guess all the pent-up frustration and missing shots, that finally clicked that night. So not only was I surprised Vanderbilt won, but to drop over 90, that's kind of a red flag for LSU because, again, you're playing a team who has been scoring in the 50s and 60s. And I get, you know, as you've said, from boxing, matchups equal matchups, and you got to play, you know, a certain way in a game. But even if you're LSU and you're supposed to be a legit threat, how in God's name are you giving up over even 80 points to a team that really doesn't have much in offense, Chris? That's a little bit of a red flag. And I know it's only one game, but still, that is a ton of points to give up to a pretty crappy offense.
Yeah, that one definitely surprised me. I mean, I definitely was surprised. That's another gym that's pretty cool, though, the way it's set up.
Oh, yeah.
And then on Sunday, before the Super Bowl, we said that there was going to be a pretty good game, and it was with Iowa and Illinois. Iowa won 72-65. Garza went off, no surprise there. It was pretty evenly matched. Then Iowa kind of jumped out to a lead, but I'd say, you know, Illinois kind of chipped away back at it, and then, like, maybe the last 4 or 5 minutes or so, Iowa just, you know, turned on the D pause and got, you know, got that W. And Illinois, they can D up. Like, they got two bigs that can D up. The one big is, like, 290, but he can move. I think he had on Arturo when they played Minnesota, I think he had 40 pounds or 40 or 50 pounds on Arturo. And it was like, and he's quicker, I think. So that was another good game before, obviously, the big game. Kind of going back to Saturday, Texas Tech and KU fought all the way down to the wire, really 78-75, Kansas. Kansas has just been kind of sneaking through once in a while. I mean, they'll get in a brawl if they have to, but they've been kind of low-key. I was about to say they've been low-key this year, but obviously when there's a fight, I don't know how low-key that is. But they're kind of just lingering at, hey, by the way, we are third in the country, and by the way, we do have some experience. We got a pretty darn good big out there. This is the one I was talking about, Creighton at Villanova, dude. At Villanova, 76-61. It's kind of like, really, dude? Huh. Maybe they're just kind of going through it momentarily and they'll pull out. But the same thing, God, I'm just pausing all over the place, aren't I? Xavier, same thing. Xavier on the road, 74-62 at Seton Hall. And I'm thinking, you guys are a week away from your matchup. It really seems like you're just looking ahead. One of the better games, two of the better games really right here, Wisconsin and Michigan State, 64-63. Wisconsin did pull it off, but that Auburn and Kentucky game, 75-66, but it was way closer than that. That was a really fun game to watch, and I kind of thought Kentucky was going to win, maybe with like 10, 12 minutes left, but Auburn just kept plucking away at them, man.
Yeah, and I mean, just to keep going from that night, the Badgers also beat Sparty. Now, it was in Wisconsin, and I kind of kicked myself for this one. Sparty was a 6-point favorite at Wisconsin. I'm really not sure why the hell I didn't bet that game. So, you know, and the Badgers they're not great this year, but their Big Ten resume is pretty good. They were a 6-point dog, and they win 64-63. And in the Big East that night, yeah, you had pretty much all the top teams lose. Seton Hall lost at home. Villanova lost at home at Butler, the team we just started the show off giving props to. They lost to Providence that night. Butler lost at home 65-61. And then last night, Providence beat Creighton. So the Big East, really, they're just really beating the tar out of each other.
Two big wins for Providence.
Oh,
dude.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, you go to Butler and win. And they played Creighton at home, but they were still, Creighton was ranked again. I'm sure they'll be unranked again. So yeah, that's a good stretch for them. That I wish I could afford it, because I would love to go to the Big East tournament, but it's in New York, and I just know hotel is at least 200, and I'm gonna have to get super super hot with picks. But that would be a really fun tournament to watch. So I think I'll have to settle for the American Conference, which I'm not gonna complain about. But Chris, if you got any hot tips, I need to make about $2,000 or $3,000 in the next month so I can afford a New York trip. Just keep me posted on that, you know.
Well, it matters what you're open to do. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'll keep you in mind on some of those. Cincinnati.
Well, shit. Yeah, speaking of the American Conference, Cincinnati beat Houston 64-62. And also that same night, I remember watching this one out at the bar, Tulsa, who is the surprise team that was picked again, 10th to finish in their division. They were projected 10th in the American. Hits a buzzer beater. You know, like we start off the show, there's a buzzer beater last week. Tulsa wins 54-51 at the buzzer. They're playing UConn tonight in about, the game starts in 10 minutes. I definitely bet them because they're at home again. I think they're giving up on average, Chris, I believe it's 50 points a game at home. So this Tulsa team is young, or I shouldn't say young, just maybe enjoying a year of beat people doubting them. The doubting really has to stop because, I mean, you're leading a conference where no one really thought you'd do it. And this is a conference with Cincinnati, Wichita, Houston, Memphis, you know, so they're kind of the underdogs, but the underdog story has to go away. That was a back and forth game. Wichita was up 29-23 at half, but Tulsa finishes up 31-22 in the second half. And there was a little bit of an NBA travel, but it was kind of one of those quick moves where the guy hit the buzzer beater three and the refs weren't really watching the feet. And he busted that three. So that was a pretty nice win for them. And again, they're 7-1 leading their conference, which not many people thought. As we kind of keep bouncing from team to team, one thing I will say, and I'll throw it back to you, you know, you can judge a lot by a team, Chris, of how good are they on the road. Like when it gets to March and we're in March Madness, there's something to be said for a team you've watched all year that is road tested and can just ball no matter where they want to play. And I know they did lose that game, as you mentioned, but I'm speaking of Illinois. This is a team that has pretty much gone toe-to-toe with every game I've seen them play. This team doesn't care if they're on the road, doesn't care if they're at home. Like, when it comes to filling out brackets, barring they get injuries or lose people due to something stupid, that is a well-tested team. Because they were up in that Iowa game, and as you said, Iowa finished on a huge run at home, which you kind of expect in the Big Ten at home. But that Illinois team, if we're talking like a gut check, what kind of team can you trust come tournament time? They've won my vote, Chris, because, man, they don't seem to get scared about much at all, whether it's home away. And they have that guard like Asamura, who that dude can score on anyone. And, I mean, just make a note, Illinois, they should be making the second weekend in the tournament, I would say, because they're a legit, proven, tested team. And there's not many of those. You'll see a lot of good home teams.
Right,
basketball, going on the road, whole different beast.
They're hard-nosed. They're deep. Like you said, they got the guard. They got the bigs. They got two bigs. One guy comes off the bench. They're a good team, man. They are a good team. I've seen them a couple of times. I've seen them, obviously, against my Ghosts, too. And every time we, you know, start to cut into it, they find a way to freaking respond right away with a bucket. Usually it was at the rack. They definitely attack the rim, no doubt about that. Tonight you do have a decent matchup in the Pac. Thursday nights generally used to be the Pac-12 night. I remember we talked about that on FSN. It's kind of it's Pac-12-ish that night, or West Coast, I guess you could say. But the decent matchup is USC and Arizona. That could be pretty good. Friday night, though, I think the last two Friday nights we've gotten the Ivy League stuff, and not this Friday. This one's on FS1, Maryland at Illinois on Friday night. So that'll be a really, really good matchup. I'm definitely looking towards that. And, you know, it's funny how a week or 10 days can go by and you know, the conference races could just tighten up just like that. And I remember we talked about, you mentioned Tulsa, and I remember saying, you know, they do have some key matchups coming up. Let's see, you know, if they can hold that lead or if they're going to squander. And you're right, they are for real. They're now 15-6, which tells you they probably played some good teams, right? They're 7-1, so they still have a half a game lead on Cincinnati. Houston now have full 1.5 game on SMU and then a full 2 games on Wichita State. And even a pretty decent club in Memphis, which obviously would be better. We know why they're not, but they're still 6-3. And the way it lines up, because they have an extra game, they're only a game and a half out, so it's wide open in that AAC. I mean, wide open. And not a whole lot has changed when it comes to the Atlantic 10. We kind of keep in notes with a variety of important conferences. Dayton's been kind of cruising. I say that with Rhode Island just a half game back at 9-1, so I guess that's not cruising all the way, but Dayton is definitely a squad. I think they're up to 11 wins in a row now. You got to keep an eye on them. And it's still a three-team race in the ACC. Louisville, 11-1 now. They are 11-1, 20-3 overall. And Duke and Florida State, who just battled it out, right? They just battled. Oh, no, they're going to. Wait. What am I missing? Did they just play or they're going to play? They're going to play. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it was. Didn't Florida State have a tough matchup though recently? God, I can't remember. But anyway, they need to hold on. You know what I mean? They definitely need to hold on. That's going to be a big game. I'm not going to say for second place for sure, but that'll help them. You know, they're both 9-2. So Louisville, though, looking really, really strong in a mediocre ACC conference this year, flashing up to the Big 12, then I'll kind of let you get a feel of what, you know, some thoughts on this as well. Baylor still cruising 9-0. There's that Kansas club that will fight with you if they have to. 8-1, 19-3 overall. West Virginia is a pretty good club. Texas Tech is sneaky too. It seems like, you know, they lost Culver, lost some other parts. Now they're starting to get their groove back. They're 5-4. And West Virginia is 6-3. So, and just I'll extra go to that Big East just to, because we've been talking about it a little bit. You still have Seton Hall at 9-1. Villanova, though, is now 7-3, dude. That's 2 games. So even with this game here, I thought, and I have my prediction blog that I'm going to finish. You know, I have it. I started it a couple days ago, and I had it like, okay, this will be the battle to see who takes over first, but that will no longer be the case. Seton Hall 9-1, Villanova 7-3, Butler now 6-4, and Creighton 6-4. I mean, dude, this really shows you a lot. Four teams at 6-4: Butler, Creighton, Marquette, and Providence. Now with those 2 big wins they got.
Yeah, I don't know. I've enjoyed it this year. Like I said, I got to find a way. I got to hit like a 10-game parlay for $100 and win like $12,000 and just fly myself out there and enjoy myself for spring break. I'll work on that plan. But yeah, it's just a loaded conference. So I think that their conference tournament is going to be fun. And I give the conference credit because when you see DePaul 1-9 and St. John's at 2-8, you would assume, oh, God, those are trash garbage teams that, you know, are easy wins. But DePaul, man, they're one of those teams where in sports you just feel bad for them because they've been in almost every game. It must be one of those years where, man, we've got to take our punches now. It'll be better again because they've had a good year. They just can't get over the hump. But, yeah, so that's a fun conference to kind of go over the ACC. Oh, God, my Tar Heels aren't dead last, but we're pretty much tied for last.
Are they Florida State this past draft picks or what are they doing?
Our offense is so damn miserable. It's just
and that's
embarrassing.
Strange to say, dude. That's like a first.
It is. And you know what really hit me, and I bet them against Boston College. I was stupid on my part. I bet they'd score over 76 points, and they scored 70. But they scored 70, they just have stretches where they don't score. I believe in that game. They had a 4-minute stretch and a 3-minute stretch in the first half where they couldn't get a field goal. And it's like, you know, this is a Carolina team that we normally score at ease. And the, oh, I want to say the other biggest point to me was in that game where Carolina's always been known as like a fast break, like run and gun team. And there was probably 10 or 12 times in that game where we would have a rebound and an outlet, and it was just dribble up and get set on offense. And I know I've been spoiled with like Ty Lawson, my guy, and like all the point guards we've had, but to see us go past half court and then run a play, it's like, that's not how we play basketball. If you get a fast break, you'll cash in for a layup and move, get back on defense, but it's just a different team. But to give credit to the people who deserve credit in the Big East, Louisville is still 11-1. They were down big to Wake Forest in the first half last night, at home. But then I think they won the second half. I want to say it was like 50-32. So they won that game easily. Duke is 9-2 in second. Florida State's also 9-2 in second. As Chris said, they play each other. Virginia, who people are kind of giving shit, man. Their offense is bad. They lost a lot of talent. And, I mean, they're not going to score much, but they still have a good coach, a good defense, and they're 7-4. They're not ranked, and it might take a while for them to get ranked again. But if you're 7-4 in conference, that's still pretty respectable, Chris. I mean, being fourth in the ACC, that's something to be ashamed about. And then as we kind of dwindle on to the middle of the pack, Syracuse Orange 6-5, NC State 6-5. No one else is really worth mentioning from that point. So the ACC is not as loaded and deep as usual, but they're still going to have, I would hope, six teams make the tournament. Hopefully, those bubble teams like Syracuse and NC State and the Fighting Irish have a little work to do, but they should have a decent tournament run out. It's just weird second-guessing teams in the ACC. It just normally doesn't happen.
Dude, the Big Ten, though.
That's what I was just going to say. So Maryland is in first place at 8-3, tied with Illinois, who I said, count them in for the second weekend of March. I'll make that my lock prediction now. Illinois will make the Sweet 16. Sparty's 8-4. Penn State, who I said has a great offense, respectable, 7-4. Iowa's 7-5. All five of those teams are ranked. Rutgers, who's not ranked this year, but they're currently 7-5. Yeah, they have been, and they're still 15-0 at home. I don't care who those 15 wins are against. If you've not lost at home, that says something about you. And then Purdue 6-6. Your Gophers 6-6. Indiana 5-6. Like Purdue at home is a beast. Your Gophers are having themselves a damn nice year. Indiana and Wisconsin, they're not bad teams. That would be probably on my list of tournaments to go to and probably a little more affordable. I'm not quite sure where they hold that one at. But the Big Ten tournament would be a blast to attend this year, too.
Nine teams within three games. Nine teams are within 2.5 of the league.
They're defending their home court, and every once in a while you get the gritty sneak up and punchy wins on the road, which have been very hard to earn, to say the least. To give credit to a team many people are probably sleeping on, San Diego State, they're undefeated in our last podcast. They're still undefeated again. They're 23-0. Again, whether their conference sucks or is not that good or is average, I don't care. If you've not lost the game and not had an offense in college basketball, because, Chris, we've seen it.
Exactly, especially basketball, you know.
Yeah.
You can make halftime adjustments in football, and if you're just a better team, you're going to catch up to them and beat them. But you're right. I mean, you got to hit your shots.
And they're 23-0. So, I mean, LSU last night, they put up the red flag. They give up 99 points to a bad team. San Diego State, they've not had that red flag night. They continue to win games, which says a ton about that team. I don't know. I mean, again, come tournament time, I wouldn't want to play them. They've had a good program now for a very long time, and I mean, they're obviously going to have all the confidence in the world. So that kind
of Pac-12's competitive. Like, we can say whatever the hell we want about Oregon, Colorado, USC, Arizona. Those seem like Stanford's okay. UCLA actually beat Colorado late last week, but when you look at it, I mean, you got to go pretty low, and you're still three games out. You know, if you look at 7-3, bunch at 6-3, 5-3. I mean, it is a competitive league. I'll give them that.
yeah, it's better than it's been. I mean, Oregon throughout the year with a lot of nice non-conference wins. Colorado has been pretty respectable. I know they've been really good at home this year. They have a 10-2 home record. USC is in third place, and again, they got the best kid in the country coming there next year, so you'd only imagine positives for USC coming up. And Arizona, I just hope they get back to the team they used to be, because they used to basically have 2 to 3 guaranteed NBA players on their team. They had a crazy home court and just were always a fun team to watch, and it really hasn't been that way for a super long time. I mean,
well, I mean, super long is pretty
wow.
I mean, they made back-to-back Elite Eights or Elite Eight in the final. I mean, super long's kind of stretching.
That made it a little harsh, but it,
I think something happened there, though, didn't they? I wonder what it was.
A couple phone calls, you know.
It was something. I don't think it was much, but I think I remember reading something coming out of there.
Nonetheless, I hope they're fun to watch. So yeah, for once the Pac-12 tournament should be a little more enjoyable. Now they're going to screw most of us over because it's on the Pac-12 network for some of those games, and God knows they're hard to watch. But
I don't even think you can order it. I think you go to try to order it and they won't even let you take my money. I can't even order it.
Oh, just for a side note, quickly as I wrap this up. But so I went to college in North Dakota. And my dad had come down to visit me a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking if we were going to try to watch and stream a North Dakota hockey game for college hockey. And I was like, okay. I told my dad, I'm like, I bet we could probably stream that for free. Like, you know, I'll go online and check things out. So I go online to, like, I think it's the NCHA or whatever, you know, hockey league.
Yep.
And it's, like, streaming package for the season, $128. And then to stream like a month of games, it's like $28. I mean, that pricing. I mean, I pay ESPN Plus $5 a month.
I was gonna say it's $4.99.
It's $128 for streaming college hockey, which I admit there's fans, but it's a pretty niche sport. I talked to my dad, like, I'm not paying $28, that's like Hulu and Netflix combined for a month. So
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure who's paying
I don't think they keep up with the same content you're getting with those other streaming services. What do you think?
Not. So if you can get Netflix, Hulu, and ESPN Plus for the same price you get for college hockey, there's a little bit of question marks involved in that rate.
Disney bundle you can get for like $13, dude. You know, you got ESPN, you got Disney, and Hulu. Just off that.
I mean, needless to say, we didn't watch the hockey game.
Yeah, right. But the SEC, though, dude, it's top heavy, sure. I got some like frisky teams every once in a while. Florida's still around. But LSU, they dropped that game. They're still 8-1. Auburn and Kentucky just played. Auburn, you know, defended the home court. And Auburn and LSU have a game coming up. So that will definitely be – have a three-way tie with Auburn winning and actually be up probably because they have the tiebreaker at this moment. That's going to be fun to see how this goes down the stretch. I like Auburn. You know, they've been good now for a while. They obviously had a – really nice run last year. LSU also has been pretty good. I do like this Kentucky team, though. I don't know. I've seen them a handful of times. I think they're going to make a deep run.
Yeah, I've seen LSU play a couple times. They've not looked that impressive. Clearly, I've not watched all the LSU games. I guess the couple times I've seen them play, their offense has looked a little rough. Obviously, last night scoring 90 showed
they lost Burrow, dude. I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah, that's true. Kentucky again, you know, just a Coach Cal's team, you know, young kid again. They're leading scorers, a freshman point guard out of the Dallas area, so that's kind of cool pulling for him, just because I'm obviously live around Dallas. And for Auburn, Pearl's got a system going. You know, they try to play up tempo, they try to press you. They kind of have that run-and-gun mentality. And for about the third straight year now, Chris, they're a respectable team. So they're definitely probably another, you know, I mentioned Illinois is a safe bet for Sweet 16. Bruce Pearl, at least for Auburn, they've normally always made pretty good runs. He's not been a one-and-done there, I don't believe. So, yeah, that's a very fun race to see who can win. And you know, we talk about this more and more as it gets closer to the year. I know that this conference tournaments, a lot of teams are like guaranteed in, but how you finish in your regular season conference is huge because, you know, you're kind of putting your resume on like the last page of the resume is how you do in the conference tournament. So even though all the three of those teams we mentioned are guaranteed in the tournament, more likely, like how you show up in your conference tournament can matter. And that all comes down to how you finish in your conference. So Kentucky win the SEC compared to being the three seed could, you know, be a huge step in the right direction for
That's
them,
true.
You know, with how they're going to show up in their conference tournament, you know, because a lot of times when it goes to Selection Sunday, you'll say, well, you know, this team won their conference tournament or they made it to the championship game. And that's why they're the three seed instead of the four seed. So it's kind of all small details, but at the end of the day, for the big picture of a team, where you finish in your conference and how you play in the standings in a conference tournament really does impact your seeding. Because every year, Chris, where I was like, well, damn, they got the two seed. Who thought that? Well, they showed up in their conference tournament and so on and so on.
Or even just getting either into the tournament or you were on the bubble. Now you're a 10th seed or a 9th seed like the Gophers last year. Like, we see that, you know, down the stretch, maybe last three games, four games of the regular season, you know, you win a game, maybe win two games. Next thing you know, you're well within, and you actually got a chance to win the first round. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow night, Maryland at Illinois, I mentioned that. I like Illinois at home. Maryland did beat them, I think, by a point earlier in the season. I think it was one of those to try to get 20 games in for the – or not try. They're going to get 20 games in for the Big Ten, and they, you know, I think it was one of those December games. Is that something you agree with, or do you think Maryland could maybe sneak in to the Fighting Illini and get that W?
I guess I'd be a little hypocritical to lock Illinois in the Sweet 16 and say they're going to lose at home.
Maryland's a good club.
No, they are, and Maryland's won a couple of good road games too, so they're definitely not a shabby club at all. I'll take Illinois to win, though. Like I said, I just they have that little bit of grit. They got big, so they got guards. That team is just they're just a fun squad. So I'm gonna think they hold their court. I don't think this game is a blowout by any means. I think it's competitive. I think this Maryland team is the best team they've had in the past 3 years. But I'll still take Illinois to win at home. They don't have a line yet. I suppose the lines would come out around 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. But I would assume Illinois is probably a 4 to 6 point favorite. So if you want to bet that, you know, maybe just take Illinois to win. Don't take the points. Just take them to win because I think they should win.
There with you. Illinois is looking a little too good, if you ask me, being a Big Ten resident here. They're looking a little too fucking good for my ranking. But that was a 1 point game. That was at Maryland. So yeah, I think that just that alone kind of tells you the outcome of that. I'm going to go over a couple of games, then we'll double back and predict some of these. Number 18, LSU at number 11, Auburn. We talked about that. Another one we talked about is number 12, Seton Hall at number 10, Villanova. That's 1:30 Central time on Fox, so that'll be a big game. Minnesota's got a tough game. That could be sneaky, but it's at Penn State, so that's going to be a rough one. Hey, University of Virginia, national champs last year, right? Am I right on that? They did win the national championship, right? Cavaliers did it.
Mm-hmm.
They got a big game, dude. You want a big victory. It's February. You want to make sure you get in. You're at Louisville. Let's see what you got. Of course, Duke, North Carolina is always watchable because of the rivalry. This kind of feels like, God, what year was that where the former player came on? He's got gray hair. What the hell is his name? He coached for like a year or two, and they got rid of him. But I think they still pulled one off. But I'm trying to think of the worst North Carolina season. Even I think it was before that they did miss it a while back. What the hell is his name?
When Brad Daugherty coached? Or
there you go. That's it. So you never know. It's not like Duke is just – the craziest team. That's what I love about this year, dude. It is so freaking wide open this year. There's not like too many teams at all. And then, you know, Butler going on the road. You know, Butler's had this good run. Okay, well, they can lose to Marquette. In fact, that's an upset of the week right there. At Marquette, Butler is going to go down swinging, but they're going to go down. That one's going to be on FS1. Wichita State at Houston. Can they bounce back and get a big win? And then here's a big one on Monday. Number 7 Duke against number 8 Florida State. You know, if you look at this on the calendar a couple of months ago, you would have thought, man, it's going to be a tough stretch for Duke. Obviously, still with the rivalry, it could be a good game. But back to – it's a big week for Duke and Florida State right at that level of Louisville where they can catch up to them and kind of separate themselves from the pack there. Let's talk – you know, I think Auburn's going to beat LSU. We just talked about them a fair amount. Does that differ for you at all? Do you think there's a I can't call it like a huge upset by any stretch, but I really feel like Auburn's just going to beat LSU.
I'm with you. I do. I guess, and I know I haven't seen a lot, and I've seen their lesser performances, but I'll definitely take Auburn to win. Again, they're at home. You'd assume you'll have a little more of a focused LSU after that embarrassing loss to Vanderbilt, but I still like Auburn at home just with their up-tempo offense. I think if they want to run and gun with LSU, I'll take them to win that game.
Yeah, it's Seton Hall at Villanova. They're both 17-5, number 12 against number 10. Villanova just lost at home not that long ago. Man, this one's interesting. I mentioned the rebounds, the rebound issue that they're going to continue to have, and I say them, meaning Seton Hall. Let me see if I can find the stat really quick. I mean, that loss that they had, it was like, really, dude? Like, that's how many freaking rebounds you got out rebound? I think it was 51-22 or something like that. I mean, God, what the hell? I just lost the stat. Why don't you preview that game, see what you think about that game?
I think from a team momentum standpoint, I think you got to bet Nova. I think that they've obviously had a brutal stretch of a schedule with playing. I mean, they had to face Butler last night. They had to face Villanova as well. Butler. They had to play Creighton. This team is just kind of been going through the beast of the gauntlet of the conference. But, you know, I think they just bounce back and win. I like the Seton Hall team, but I think they still have potential to grow more because of the games. I've watched them play probably 4 or 5 times on the past month, and they do have a star player, Miles Powell, but they have moments where they're just not quite always clicking as a team. I think that they kind of play to their opponent right. Sometimes. So if Miles Powell is off for the night, the team struggles. Now, they do have – I know you said they have rebound issues. They do have a center, though, in Gill, who is averaging almost like 5 blocks a game. So they do have a guy down low, but they're definitely struggling to rebound. But I just like going over –
51-22. And that game was so crazy because it started out like 30-6 Xavier.
Yeah.
And – Seton Hall definitely, you know, grinded their way back in, but Xavier had 18 turnovers that game too, so it's kind of like, wow. But they had 14 of those 51 were offensive rebounds.
And again, I bet you that point spread, I bet it's Villanova maybe -2, -2.5, but I'll definitely take Nova. I think the team is due for a win, and Seton Hall is just not quite as good as I think their numbers show. Are they a respectable team? Yes. Could they make a deep run? Yes. But there's something about them, Chris, and it's kind of one of those things in sports where, you know, you're having a debate with your boys, and you're like, you know, I don't know what it is, but this team doesn't just quite seem great to me. That's kind of me. I don't have, like, one exact statistic for you about them, but they just don't always seem to quite click. Now, could they come in Sherrod against Villanova? Absolutely. But I'll gladly take Nova in that situation.
We're not going to disagree at all today, I guess. 21-game home streak that Creighton knocked off of Nova. You can bet your bottom dollar they're going to be pissed off. And like you said, they're going to be looking for, revenge, obviously. So I'm there with you. I mean, you hear this. We'll disagree because I know you won't pick Duke. I'm picking Duke to beat North Carolina. Who you got?
The ESPN BPI thing that you love and pray and have a tattoo on your back about, you know, that meter of the year. I believe they projected the spread of 13.7 points. I do not know the last time a computer projected a 13.5 point spread. Now, is that factual? Maybe you shave off one or two, maybe make it 10 or 11 for the sake of rivalry, but I don't think we'll win. Again, when we played Florida State, we went on an 11-minute stretch of no field goals. Okay, I think we made a couple of free throws at that point, but we didn't score a basket for 11 minutes. We also had stretches against Boston College. We can't score the effing ball. So are we going to beat Duke? Probably not. With that being said, this is a massive rivalry that I obviously I'm biased at because I love my Tar Heels, so I'm going to watch, obviously. But the thing is that I have seen some garbage-ass teams win this game when they weren't supposed to. So is Duke a better team right now? Hands down. But have I seen great teams in this rivalry get beat by bad teams? Yes. Because they always replay that one game where Duke was like 3-20 on the year and they beat us. So, this is – if you want to bet the game, okay, obviously Duke is probably the smart money. But, again – I've seen plenty of times in this rivalry where the ranked team is playing a bad team and the bad team wins. So that's what kind of makes it fun. I do have softball this weekend. But I believe the game is at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. So I will have my feet kicked up with a nice adult beverage in hand or two or three and enjoy this. And again, I think we'll win? No, but I'm just going to be optimistic and hope that for one night, Cole Anthony goes off. Well, I see it's at 5 o'clock. That Cole goes off. It's at the Dean Dome, and then maybe something magical can happen.
Still $1.74, cheapest ticket to get in. Does something about it.
Yes.
Then we got some West Coast games that could be a little interesting. Stanford at Colorado, and Gonzaga travels to their rival, really their only rival. And St. Mary's. And St. Mary's 19-5, they're not great. I saw this earlier game that they had. Gonzaga pretty much, I think they pulled away in the second half. But, if you're thinking about, hey, when's Gonzaga going to lose? Well, I mean, unless you're talking about the tournament, maybe this would be one of the times that they would lose. Real quick, Florida State at Duke. That I think it's Vasile or whatever that dude hit was like 7 for 7 on threes. We know Florida State is always defensive minded. Clearly, you know that's been their keynote here. That thing I love so much, the basketball power index, and get it right, by the way. Don't bring up kind of RPI and all that. No. This is according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, which I have that all on my back, that whole line there. It's all on my back. It's lower on my back, too, if you know what I mean. 87.6% chance that Duke gets it done at home in Cameron Indoor. Do you agree with that? And do you think it's more of a 50-50 game or, hey, Duke's at home, let's take them?
I think it's definitely 50-50. If this was at Florida State has always played Duke great at home. Obviously, it's at Duke, so that doesn't help. But if you remember 2 weekends ago, Louisville just went in and just smoked Duke. I mean, Duke wasn't even in that game. So this is not an invincible Duke team. And like usual, Chris, for Florida State, it's the same damn repeat button as usual. They're like long, athletic, and they're deep. It's the same Florida State team. You know, and they have a hell of a coach, Leonard Hamilton, a guy that's probably like 77 now and looks like he's like 56. So it's the same story. Florida State is going to be a more athletic team, a more taller team, or quicker team, but Duke's at home and they got some guys that can probably shoot better. So I'd expect a fun game. I sure as hell hope Florida State wins, especially if Duke beats UNC. I don't want to see Duke win another game, but I'll take Florida State. Hopefully their athleticism does the job like usual. And you're probably going to have another close game. Now, if Duke has to travel to Florida State this year, I would definitely take Florida State in that situation. Let me see if the gods were not. Duke does not have to go to Florida State. Wow. So one of Duke's toughest places to ever win at, they don't have to go there. How interesting, Chris. How interesting. Yeah, you know, sometimes just got to deal with that shit with Duke. Whatever. Go Florida State. Tomahawk chop.
That about wraps it up. And I say, like, I'm saving some games for the Monday show that we assume or we're going to do, because there's some games midweek, too, as well, that, you know, are key matchups. So, like I said, on paper, there is some really, really important games, not just rank versus rank, but within the conference. You can literally tie someone and be up on them with the tiebreaker. So that always adds fuel to the fire that's already burning in some of these rivalries and some of these big games. It's February 6th, so we're really moving closer and closer, inching closer and closer to March Madness. And, you know, you could say every game doesn't count, but these games definitely count, no doubt about that. Anything else you'd like to cover beyond the crappy pick of the week, as far as games or anything you want to talk about there, sir? Obviously, our pro teams, you know, the Timberwolves and the Warriors swapped players today, and we think it's probably a good fit for both sides considering what they had on the books for each player. But anything that you would like to talk about before we wrap it up with the crappy pick?
I'd say we're good. We have another great Saturday, as you were saying, with rivalry games coming up. Well, I'll obviously have a breakdown for Carolina and Duke. It might be a 5-minute breakdown. It might be 30 seconds. We'll see. But I'm trying to be, you know, optimistic. I think we hit on it, and I think conference play is only going to get tighter from this point on. So if your team's in a race for trying to win the conference or move up to a couple of seeds, you know, now's the time where you just really can't afford to have those off nights. So to recap last week's Crafty Crap Pick of the Week, again, another pretty close competitive game. Chris and I have done this all for a college football show for probably 5 or 6 years, where I pick a garbage game and he breaks it down. So I was like, you know what, let's do it for basketball now. Last week we picked the Delaware State Hornets, who were 2-17, to play the Coppin State Eagles, who were 6-16. Now, despite, and I love this, Chris, ESPN actually shows how many people attended. There was a 33% attendance at that game of 988 people. So, you know, at Dover Hall and Memorial Hall in Dover, Delaware, 988 showed up. You know, I think a couple people were drinking too much, or you would have had 1,000. I think the student section was a little bit bare. But,
well, and you got the media, too. You know, there's a lot of media that show up to those games, too. So that's part of the headcount.
I think the Delaware media is probably down in Kansas City using their media credential passes. Like, guys, I know that we're covering a shit team, but can we cover the Super Bowl? Like, you have media pass? Yeah, you're good. Yeah. So I think that's the 12 we're missing, the hungover kids and the media passes in Kansas City. But it was a 77-68 win. The Delaware State Hornets now got their third win of the year. I want to say, Chris, you took the
remember I said somehow, I don't know how I'm picking a team with two wins, but I am.
So we're 1-1 on the year, baby. 1-1. We're even money. Even money. So the next game we're going to break down with a smile on our face actually occurs tonight. Okay. So I'll preview this, maybe some time to peek at it. Okay. We're having a 7 o'clock. I just scrolled past it. Oh shoot, where'd it go?
What conference are we in? Because there's so many goddamn teams.
We are in the.
You don't even know.
OVC. OVC.
See what I mean? It sounds like a shopping network.
It is okay. Jacksonville State against Southeast Missouri State. Let me give you a nice little preview for this baby, and then Chris will break it down. So. The Jacksonville State Gamecocks, okay, you got the JSU logo. That's kind of classy. 9-14, 4-8 on the year. They're traveling to Southeast Missouri State, the Red Hawks. The Red Hawks are 0-10 in conference. Jacksonville State is 4-6 in conference. So there's a little bit of a disparity of wins and losses. The Gamecocks is obviously a little bit, you know, of an aggressive attacking animal like the South Carolina has for football. And you got the Red Hawks, who are a little more, they got a better logo, but a little more probably a tame animal. We always like to compare the mascots. If the mascots were to fight, who'd win?
It is a pretty cool logo.
It is. The Gamecocks against the Red Hawks, I'm guessing you lean Gamecocks. I actually bet against Southeast Missouri State their last game out, and they actually, Eastern Kentucky, beat them and covered the spread. So for what it matters, thank you, Southeast Missouri State, in the last game for laying an egg and letting me cover the spread pretty easily. Again, we have a record of 9-14 against 4-19. So it's not quite a close matchup, but Vegas does have this as a 3-point spread.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to say,
you know, the Jacksonville State Gamecocks are only a 3-point favorite. I mean, obviously in college basketball, you always got the home court to worry about. This game is going to be played at the Show Me Center. Ooh.
Yeah.
Missouri's the Show Me. I like that. This game's at the Show Me Center.
This isn't in Kansas, right? This is in Missouri.
There's a shirt that Mahomes was wearing on playing with his lady.
I saw that. Said,
the great state of Kansas. Oh, that made me laugh. So that was badass. That was great. If you know what we're talking about, get caught up on social media. Okay. It's in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which I believe is in Missouri. It's not near, you know, Topeka.
It's right by the river. No, I'm just kidding.
Their gym sits 7,000.
Damn, that's a
7,000 man seat for a team that's 0-10. I'm not quite sure what numbers we're gonna get. So, this game starts at 7:15. You got time to get your bets in. Chris, break down this beautiful matchup of angry birds attacking each other.
Yeah, right. I actually would rather pick the actual fight than this one. It's so hard to pick a team that's lost 10 in a row, right? It is difficult. It's super difficult. They put up 65 a game. The problem is they give up 75. Who gives up 10 more than they score?
That's
I
bad.
Know who. That well, you got to show them. You got to show them you can beat them, though. They don't just let you beat them. You got to show them. It's a Show Me State. So. Show me an upset, even though it is a minor upset, isn't it? Because it's 3 points.
Yeah.
Show me a win. 11 in a row. They've lost 11 in a row. But somehow, some way, at the Show Me Center in Missouri, right there, like I said, on the river, because it sounds like it's Cape. It sounds like it's like Cape Cod or something.
I know.
That's why I had
a nice ring
to it. About the river.
Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, that's why I brought up the river.
It's got to be a beautiful city.
It probably is very pretty. And they have a 28% chance, which is actually pretty good. So, once again, I picked a two-win team last week. This team is just horseshit. I mean, there's just no way around it. But it's 10 in a row. They've lost 10 in a row. Something's got to give, dude. Something's got to give. These youngsters, 18 through 22, they're emotional. They're pissed off. They're going to get it done. They said, you got to show me you can come in to the Show Me Center and beat us. And I don't think it's going to happen on the southeastern Missouri Flatbush Red River, whatever else you want to say to it, Red Hawks. It is the Red Hawks, right?
Yeah.
Right, yep. So I'm going with the Southeast Missouri State Redhawks to stop their losing streak at 10. You got to draw a line in the sand, and I just did.
I respect that call. It takes guts to pick a team that's 0-10 conference. So on that beautiful note, I'm going to continue watching Tulsa at UConn. My bet was Tulsa -3. They're currently up 3 in the first half, so I'm sitting okay so far. Chris and I'll be back next week recapping what looks to be an incredible Saturday. And I know Chris even said next week looking ahead is beautiful too. So a lot of good basketball. And we're pretty much to the point now where March Madness Selection Sunday is probably a month away or almost on the dot. It normally always seems to be like the 6th, 7th, or 8th around that time. So the brackets are coming out pretty soon. It's only going to get more and more fun. And I got to enjoy college basketball because for our NBA playoff show, well, I normally get to rant and rave about Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. That's not happening this year. So I got to enjoy my college basketball because NBA playoffs is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to have to actually do some research for once. So I hope you enjoy your week. If you're living in a cold state, stay warm. Get some beer, get some pizza, watch some college basketball on Saturday. The boys are out tonight. I hope you have a great week. Peace.